It's very joyful to be here. You're quite a joyful bunch. Do you know that? You don't sound convinced. You know, you've got so much joy in this. Woo. Anyway, I'm starting a new series today. Lucky you. And you know I love to start a new series. Don't like to, you get about two parts in and I'm like, I'm a bit bored of it. But, you know, this is going to be awesome. So anyway, we're starting a new series today called Live Like Jesus, Discipleship and Our Sexual Formation. So it's quite a title, isn't it? I'm going to read that again. Live Like Jesus, Discipleship and Our Sexual Formation. So we aim to cover a lot of ground with this series. We're going to be looking at marriage, at singleness, at how our current culture views sex, sexuality and relationships, and what the Bible has to say about all of this, and how we are to navigate this as followers of Jesus, as disciples. Now, some of you might already be feeling a little bit uncomfortable, and that's okay. Isn't sex, along with politics and religion, one of those things that you're meant to not talk about around the dinner table, and definitely not on a Sunday morning? So you're like, James, what are you doing? I thought we were going to talk about love again. Well, it is love. But the truth is, this series has been a long time in the planning. We have been, myself, particularly Matt and Alice, we've been thinking about talking about this for years, if I'm really honest. And COVID came along and many different things. And so, but we feel it's the right thing to do. And to not do so would be disobedient in our role as church leaders, teachers, pastors, and disciplers. So we strongly feel now is the right time. During the course of this six-week series, myself and Alice will work across the site. So I'll do part one, Alice will do part two, I'll do part three, etc., etc. And we both feel, on the one hand, the weight and gravity of what we're talking about, but also the satisfaction and joy of being obedient to the Spirit. So there's those two things. And actually, do you know what? I slept really badly last night. I had one of those sleeps. And I woke up this morning, but I had some time with the Lord. And he was like, it's going to be a good day. I was like, great. So can we just pray as we start? So Lord, we just invite your Spirit. Lord, as I preach, Lord, I just pray all that you want to put on me in this moment. And Lord, I just want to be obedient to you. I pray for the room, just aware that as we're talking about deep things, we give you our hearts in this moment as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me start with the why. Why do we think this series is really important, and why now? Particularly because of the current cultural moment that we find ourselves in. So I've got kind of three reasons of why we think this is really important. The first one is because we are committed to discipleship in our church. So we want to grow in maturity as followers of Jesus in every area of our lives, from the small habits to the large life decisions. And that's why we've developed a whole framework for our discipleship called Live Like Jesus. And if you've been with us for any length of time over the last 3 years, we come back to a Live Like Jesus series because we want to be more like him. And we want to be a church that takes our discipleship to Jesus both seriously on the one hand and joyfully on the other. Both of those things. It's like, it's serious because it's our whole lives and we want to do it well. But at the same time, there should be a freedom and a joy in following Jesus as well. So those two things. And so as his disciples, as all of us are sexual beings, whatever our relationship status, our sexual orientation, or our cultural background, we need to work out what it means to surrender this part of ourselves to Jesus. And if you look through the scriptures, you'll see that the Bible has a lot to say about our sexual formation. And I think that this is because God knows how important this is. Who we are as sexual and relational beings goes right to the deepest core of how he's created us and who we are. And as such, there's perhaps no area of our lives that has such a big impact on ourselves and on those around us. And no other area where the enemy has had such a field day in making us feel ashamed and condemned as well. So we're talking about this because we're committed to discipleship. Secondly, because the world needs to hear it. Over this series, we'll look at what the world currently says about sex, sexuality, and how this interplays with our identity and who we are. As we think about this, we will see that we're just aware. All of us, I think, will be in conversations all of the time around about this subject of sex and sexuality. And We actually think that the world needs to know that there's a better way to live and to be, that God has a plan for our sexuality that is deeply redemptive and hope-filled, and that we are part of a much bigger story, that his plans are concerned with human flourishing. Jonathan Grant, in his book Divine Sex, says this: sustaining faithful relationships and encouraging the ability to live disciplined sexual lives may be one of the most influential missional tasks of the contemporary church as we witness to the kingdom of God in the midst of a sexually confused and relationally fatalistic culture. And thirdly, because many of you want to hear it, many people want to know where the church stands on many of the issues relating to sex and sexuality, particularly in our current cultural context and in the debates that are going on across the wider church as well. Do you know what? It's really easy as church pastors to be quiet in these moments. It's like, ooh, to feel intimidated by the way in which many of these conversations are being had over social media and in different places. But we also know where there is silence or ambiguity, there can be pain or anxiety as well. And so over this course of this series, we aim to bring some kind of clarity, knowing that clarity is kindness. We're not going to be able to cover everything in this series. For example, we're not going to be talking directly into the current conversation around gender and transgender. Not because we don't think it's important, but because it's so important, we want to make sure we've given it enough time and preparation. And we're happy to chat more on a one-to-one basis. So we will come back to that conversation further down the line. But just to let you know, that is not a part of this series. So three reasons for why: because we're committed to discipleship, the world needs to hear it, and many of you want to hear it as well. So for the rest of the talk today, I want to come back to this idea of discipleship. And one of the key phrases for how we want to approach what can be a tricky, like really difficult conversation is as disciples of Jesus on a journey. We're all on a journey of how to follow him in this area of our lives. And I've just explained that we very much see this as a discipleship series. Let me explain how this affects how we have any conversation around sexuality. We're all on a journey of surrendering our lives to him. Nobody has arrived yet. And as such, for every single one of us, there will be some areas of our sexual formation that are in need of his transformation. And this series is for all of us, not just a few of us. Especially not just for those groups of people who the church has labeled sinful over the years when it comes to this. It's easy to make this an out there issue. And what I mean by that is it's for other people, for the person next to you, for your neighbor, for somebody else. We create an us and them mentality. No, I want to make it far more challenging than that. If you thought this series was going to be challenging, you've got no idea. I want to talk to us all as disciples of Jesus about our sexual formation, about all of us honoring God with our bodies and our deepest desires. Now, depending on the life stage of life and our unique situation, how we all pursue Jesus with our lives and bodies, with our passions, desires, orientations, how do we bring all of this under the lordship of Jesus? And we're not here to tell the world how to be the world. This is a series primarily for people who would call themselves disciples of Jesus. And it's trying to answer this question: as disciples of Jesus, what does it mean to surrender all of my life, including my sexuality and relationships, to him? That's the question that we're trying to answer. So what are some of the key principles that we want to have as part of this series? So the first one is this, and you might say, James, this is so obvious. I'm like, maybe, but discipleship involves our physical bodies. So today, let's jump in with the question, what does God say about our bodies? What does your body and my body have to do with our discipleship? In our culture, the body tends to be thought of as both accidental, so the product of entirely random processes, and incidental, carrying no intrinsic significance to my identity. Accidental and incidental. It's simply the lump of flesh I happen to be carrying around. That's what I mean by that. The real me is who I feel myself to be deep down inside, and my body becomes a canvas on which I express that inner identity. Now, this attitude has become part of the church as well, and there has been a tendency in the church to separate our bodies from discipleship, to downplay its significance. We know God cares about our souls. We tend not to think he gives much thought to our bodies. So let's be honest, bodies can be quite embarrassing at times, can't they? But the message of the Bible is very different. Our bodies are not an accident. God has lovingly created them, each with individual care and precision. The Bible describes God knitting us together in our mother's womb. Isn't that the most beautiful image? He knits us together, and then he goes on to say, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has an incredibly high view of our bodies and what to do with them. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 7, Paul is writing to a young church in Corinth, and he's writing about sex, its importance, and how God sees our bodies. And these are important chapters that we'll come back to during the series, but it says this, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Now, verse 19 is actually asked as a question. Do you not know, or have you forgotten, that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Have you forgotten the incredible gift that God has given you? And he's saying, I want you to remember that when we give our lives to Jesus, when we bow the knee to him and say, you come and be Lord and Savior, we're filled with the Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And God comes to abide with us and his Spirit comes to live in us. It is a physical, tangible thing. He brings his holiness and his power and his goodness and he transforms us. And he says to us, this body is mine. This body is mine. I want all of you, including your body. It's an amazing image, isn't it? This temple is mine. This is to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. And like all temples, this one is to be set apart, consecrated, and made holy. Okay, so let's just stop for a moment. Is that how you think about your body? Because it's powerful. It's like God says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. That's who you are, a temple. God's holiness comes to dwell within us, all of his goodness, all of his kindness, his presence and his glory. And as a result, we are changed. We are no longer our own. We are hosting God. His presence comes to physically live in us. God comes, and I think it talks in the message, God comes to make his home in us. You're like, oh, wow. That is such a huge concept. And this changes us up at our deepest level. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. So Christ lives in us, and Paul gives the Corinthians an exhortation to honor God with their bodies. Like, so honor God with your bodies. And the same is true for us. So how do we honor God with our bodies? And the way we're to do this is by walking in the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 16 and 17, it talks about this. It says this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. So there's this war going on between the flesh and the Spirit. And we've all become far more aware of war, haven't we, over the last 3 years. But at its heart, war is violent and destructive, is powerful. And this war between the Spirit and the flesh is powerful and at times violent. And the imagery that Paul is using here is graphic, the language of war and battle. But we do have to remember that as Christians, this war has already been won and is covered by the blood of Jesus. But there is still a battle going on between the flesh and the Spirit. And I love what Simon Ponsonby says about this. He says, whatever the ongoing operation of sin in the believer's life, it is temporal and without eternal consequence. It may accuse, but it cannot condemn. It has no power to undo what God has done. Sin cannot rob me of my rights. It cannot reverse God's decree and declaration over my life. It is an irritant whose days are numbered. Whatever its presence, its power in my life is broken, its penalty covered. It seeks to undermine God's work in me and God's will for me, but it cannot cancel out my new true identity as one united with Christ or my security of eternity with Christ. That's so important that we remember that into this whole conversation. And some of you need to hear that. As I talk about this, you feel a massive sense of shame from your past or even your current reality. And I would want to say, I really hope that this is a community where you can come and B, the gospel says that there is no shame, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I've talked with many, many people over the past who have massive areas of sexual brokenness, and they don't know whether they can talk about it. And if they were to talk about it, church would be the last place that they would do so. But isn't that totally the wrong way around? We talk about, and one of our values is to be a grace-filled community. That's who we are, like, pursuing to be, a grace-filled community. And I want to say at the heart of it, we have to be a place that is honest. There is nothing worse, in my experience, than an environment which is fake. And what I mean by that is that there is a public persona and a private persona. So we come here on a Sunday or to other different sites, and we come along, how are you? Yeah, great, everything's fantastic. Yet our private lives are falling apart. And that there's no realness between those two things. So this conversation that we are opening up is really difficult. It's complicated. It's nuanced and all of those things. But I want us to be a community where the conversation happens. And so the scripture is really clear. There's a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. And it's happening in all of us. It's not just some of us. God knows. He knows every hair on our head and every thought in our mind. Therefore, we want to be a community that journeys through deeply difficult things together. The addictions, the areas of brokenness and shame, the wrestle. And we want to see God's grace melt our sin, shame, and mess. And we want to live out a new identity. This is so important to realize that this war is ongoing, but we live out of our new identity. We are citizens of God's kingdom. That is our identity. So firstly, discipleship is an ongoing process which involves our whole selves, including our bodies. And then secondly, discipleship is rooted in our new identity. Remember who you are. In this whole conversation around sexual formation, we need to remember our ultimate identity is not rooted in ourselves, but in Jesus. And we look to Jesus, and he defines us because he died for us. Coming back to that passage that I read at the beginning, you are not your own. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Our sexuality, therefore, is not our ultimate identity, even though it's an important part of who we are. Our bodies, and indeed us as sexual beings, are first and foremost kingdom people seeking God's leading and direction for him to bring him glory. And in seeking, there's a battle going on, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh, so that you are not to do whatever you want. How challenging is that last phrase? Is there a more countercultural 8 words? You are not to do whatever you want. You are not to do whatever you want. Not all desires are good desires. And God says that all desires need to be in line with his. And we're going to have to live and wait on the Spirit, listen to the Spirit, let the Spirit reign. And our culture would say, if it feels good, do it. That's the greatest expression of who you are. Whereas the Bible would say, you are not your own. You were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. Your body, your nature, your being are to be surrendered to God's kingdom. You were bought at a price. Your freedom has been bought. Ephesians 5, 8 to 10 says this, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. There's a change in our identity because we are citizens of a different kingdom. And at the core of who we are children of the light. And then it goes on to talk about what that looks like, goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. So as disciples of Jesus, we are asking the question, God, what pleases you in the way we live and work out our sexual formation? And the primary way we discover what pleases God, or indeed anything about him, is through scripture. This is such an important concept for our discipleship generally, but particularly in this series. So number 3, discipleship comes under the authority of scripture. So firstly, discipleship involves our whole selves, including our body. Secondly, discipleship is rooted in our new identity. And thirdly, discipleship comes under the authority of scripture. As disciples, I believe we surrender our bodies to God and his word. In the person of Jesus and the authority of the scriptures as Christians, we have a blueprint for our lives. We've been given a better story to live in, the kingdom story. As we grapple with this subject, we're coming with the belief that the Bible is God's word, that it is authoritative, inspired, and God-breathed. So just to put it in the room, that is our assumption as this church. That's where we stand. And it's his truth for our lives. We want to understand it, grapple with it, be shaped by it, and live by it. We did a whole series called Shaped by the Word that you might want to go back and listen to. And this, again, is another area where we go against the cultural grain. Jonathan Grant, again in Divine Sex Thiz, says this: whereas the traditional Christian conviction is that Scripture is our primary test so that we seek to interpret and align our lives with its truth, our culture of authenticity has reversed this dynamic. Within the modern mindset, our lives and personal experiences have become the primary text. We seek to interpret and align Scripture in accordance with this truth. So we don't bring meaning to Scripture. Scripture brings meaning and understanding to us. So we believe that the Bible provides the blueprint for human flourishing, that God's wisdom is far more trustworthy than our own instincts, and that following Jesus takes us on a journey of radical discipleship and obedience, which is sometimes in conflict with the cultural norms of our society. Scripture helps us to recognize the lies of our society. Over Christmas, I went to watch Wonka, great film, with my family at the cinema. And as we were watching the adverts at the beginning, there came up an advert that was so deeply jarring that I thought, wow, our culture has moved so far. And the advert was by Tinder, just swipe right. Now, I have to remember that this was a family film. Like, this wasn't like an 18 or a 15, this was just the PG. And what was portrayed in this advert by Tinder were a series of connections between people. But the advert portrayed them as being incredibly sexual. They were like sexual encounters between different people. And I actually thought halfway, me and Jen kind of debriefed after, was like, did you see that advert? She was like, yeah, did you? I was like, and she said, I thought it was about sexually transmitted diseases. Like, you know when you're halfway through an advert and you're like, oh, and they're going to be like, and be really careful. And then they're like, just swipe right. I was like, wow. And it spoke the language of our day. If you're lonely, meet some people, have some casual sex and keep moving on. Sex and commitment have been totally separated. Take what you want from who you want when you want. I was just like, oh, wow. That whole advert was just like, sex has been separated from any kind of commitment. It will be so good for you and so liberating, and you will be free. Sex is just a physical transaction. Take what you want. It is a lie and it is deeply destructive. There is a label for this which is called expressive individualism. And it holds that each person has a unique core of feeling and intuition that should unfold or be expressed if individuality is to be released. So at its heart, it's saying, look inside to find out who you are. Identify your desires, act on them, and use them to form your identity. So the trouble with this is that as we try and discover our identity by only looking within, we have nothing stable to stand on and nothing concrete. If our desires change, so too must our entire identity. It's like a boat trying to anchor to itself to survive a storm. Alice will talk about this more next week as she looks at our cultural context. But finally, the fourth concept, and I've not got that much more to go, but that we have to understand as we go into this series is we sit under the authority of the Word, but we are empowered by the Spirit. Because the danger is, if you do not have the Spirit in it, it becomes legalism and dry and dead. And instead, it is actually all empowered by the Spirit. And what it does is it changes it to being something that's deeply hopeful. We use his strength. Just coming back to Galatians 5:16, where I started, I said, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. So how do we do that? We walk in step. Something that I've noticed is that as disciples of Jesus, it is possible to become numb or even shut down the Spirit in our lives. It's possible to become numb or even shut it down. And what happens is, and I've noticed this, I've noticed it myself, so I'm not even talking about other people, I'm talking about myself, is that when you have an area of something that's going on that's not right before the Lord, what happens is we often try to compartmentalize it from everything else. Do you know what I mean? It's like, right, shut it off. Don't think about that area. Don't let the Spirit in that area. It's like, just do not go there. And I've seen this time and time again in regards to sexual formation. It's like people's thought life that's out of control. And I, you know, this could be somebody who's married and, you know, is in a married relationship, but actually their thought life is way out of control. They are thinking about things that they shouldn't be thinking about and people that they should not be thinking about. And you could take that into pornography. You can take that in all sorts of different areas of life. What the scripture says, you have to keep walking in step with the Spirit. You have to be receptive to the Spirit. You have to come before the Lord and place your body before him and be like, Lord, search me and know me. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in your paths everlasting. It's like, Lord, I present my body. I present this temple before you. Our surrender to the Spirit's leading is an act of the will, and it's a choice that we must make. And it's saying yes to the Spirit's leading and no to the desires of the flesh. So discipleship is empowered by the Spirit. So coming back to this idea of it being about sexual formation, can I just ask you a few questions as I come in to finish? I'm not saying these are easy questions. If you're dating, how are you honoring God with your body? If you're single and celibate or single and wanting to find a partner, how are you honoring God? If you're married, how is your sexual intimacy and your thought life honoring God? If you've recently come out of a broken relationship, how are you honoring God? If you're struggling with your sexual desires, how do you honor God? And fundamentally, all of those questions come under, is your sexual formation surrendered to God? Is your sexual formation surrendered to God? I believe that God cares about all of this, which is why we are addressing this series, which is why we're talking into it. It is real. It is deep. It is in many instances difficult and messy. But just because that's the case, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't go there. It's one of the deepest and our deepest levels of formation. And it affects all of us. We are at our core relational. And sex and the way that we use our bodies is deeply connected with relationships, with people. But I wanted to open the series by talking about how God wants us to honor him with our bodies. We need a vision of Jesus that is higher and louder and clearer than the deafening sexualized voice of our culture. I'm going to say that again. We need a vision of Jesus that is higher and louder and clearer than the deafening sexualized voice of our culture. I believe that Jesus is asking us to surrender our sexual lives to him, to let them be formed and challenged and surrendered in a way that brings glory and honor to God. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand up and we're going to minister.